The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, December 16th through Sunday, December 22nd, 2024. The commentary for December was written by Dion K. Johnson, the first openly gay, first black, and first immigrant bishop to lead the Diocese of Missouri. Born and raised on the island of Barbados, he and his family now live in Webster Groves, Missouri. He enjoys cooking, photography, hiking, and being an armchair movie critic. The commentary for Monday, December 16th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 39. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. Our kitchen table wasn't particularly special, just a small square mahogany table with pits and grooves. I did homework at that table, ate meals, and argued with my brother. I played hide-and-seek and even carved my initials underneath it, don't tell my mother. I loved that table. It was almost like a member of the family. As an adult, I learned that the table had been made by my grandmother's grandfather, who was enslaved at the time of its construction. That table is a tangible connection to my ancestors. Each time I sit at it, I remember those who came before me and how, through their struggle, they allowed me to take up the mantle. Before Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives, he breaks bread with his disciples and invites them to remember, each time we gather at Christ's table, we sit in the upper room with Jesus and the disciples, and we remember. I often think of the ministers and people who have said this same prayer, and imagine the ones who will come after me, who will take up the words, the prayers, and the bread. And now I'll read this full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 39 through 53. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them, about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief, and he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial." While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw him, and they saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with the sword?" Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him, Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. And the moving forward question for this Monday, December 16th, what item in your home connects you to your ancestors? The commentary for Tuesday, December 17th, begins with a passage from Luke chapter 25, verse 61b. Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. Denial isn't just a river in Egypt. When I was in my teens, those words often crossed my lips. They were my rebellious way of telling someone they were in denial about something they did not see or could not grasp. I occasionally hear that phrase uttered today, and it often makes me think of the wider church. As followers of Jesus, we know a thing or two about denial. It is in our spiritual DNA. From Peter denying Jesus in the courtyard of the high priest to the church's response to social ills and our role in society, denial has been and continues to be part and parcel of the church. We deny Jesus when we fail to speak out for those in greatest need. We deny Jesus when we are so concerned about our liturgy and worship that we forget that their purpose is to equip us to be Jesus in the world. We deny Jesus when we refuse to fight for the basic needs of our siblings in Christ. We deny Jesus when we remain silent in the face of ignorance, hatred, and bigotry. And now I'll read this full gospel passage from Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 69. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then, about an hour later still, another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, "If you are the Messiah, tell us." He replied, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And the moving forward suggestion for this day is, Advent invites us to keep awake, open our eyes, and look and listen for signs. As we await the coming of the Messiah, we might begin by looking at the places where we deny the reality of the Christ among us. Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, December 18th, also known as Ember Day. It begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verse 62a. "At midnight I will rise to give you thanks. For a period of time, I worked as a chaplain in a hospital. I met people at the most joyous and most distressing times in their lives, from the birth of babies and the expansion of families to the last rites for someone moving to the next life. Hospital chaplaincy is not for the faint-hearted, but I loved it. It was a privilege to come alongside God's people for a time. I often wished I could deepen the relationships with the patients I encountered. One of my most memorable was an 87-year-old lady recovering from bypass surgery, as she had come pretty close to death. But when I walked into her room, she had the broadest smile and a deep sense of joy and peace. I asked her how she could be so happy, considering all that she had been through. She said, "God has blessed me to open my eyes and see a new day. How can I not be thankful?" And I'm going to read from Psalm 119, verses 49 through 72. "Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my distress, that your promise gives me life. The arrogant utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your ordinances from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, those who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs wherever I make my home. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. This blessing has fallen to me, for I have kept your precepts. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I implore your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think of your ways, I turn my feet to your decrees. I hurry and do not delay to keep your commandments. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was humbled, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The arrogant smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their hearts are fat and gross, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was humbled, so that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold pieces." And the moving forward question for this day: Jesus coming into the world is a reminder that each day we are blessed with an opportunity to share and savor God's love once more. How can we not be thankful? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, December 19th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 3, verse 7b. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Thank God John the Baptizer was not the chair of the evangelism committee. He does not mince words or spare anyone's sensibilities. John has a job to do, and he is going to do it his way, like it or not. His words of rebuke are hard to hear, but true. Prophets have a way of telling us the hard truths about ourselves and our relationship to God and each other. They lay bare the many fissures, failures, and faults we have accumulated in our faith. In short, they tell us about ourselves by holding up a mirror. In this season of longing and expectation, we need John. We need to get our spiritual house in order so that we can adequately welcome the one who is to come. Prophets may make us uncomfortable, but they speak truth, and in the one who is coming, we know that truth will set us free. And now I'm going to read from the full gospel passage today from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and when they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he is clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And the moving forward question for this Thursday, do you have a John the Baptizer in your life? Do you listen? Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, December 20th. It begins with a passage from Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. "Let anyone with ears listen." As a child, I could tell how much trouble I was in by what I was called. If my mother used my first and last name, I was in some trouble. But if she called me by my first, middle, and last name, it was time to make my last will and testament. Thankfully, my full name was rarely invoked during my childhood, but my ears were always attuned to listening for the way I was being called. Advent is an invitation to deep listening, an invitation to look beyond the ordinary and listen for the footfall of God walking in our world. The prophets knew this. They were attuned to the frequency of God's voice. God continues to speak in our world, particularly through those who have no voice, those who have been discounted as nothing, dismissed to the margins and sidelines. We who follow Jesus face the challenge of listening with the ear of the heart. Jesus is calling us by name, by our full name. We have work to do. Perhaps this Advent season, we would do well to simply and faithfully listen. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 15. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John came. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. Let anyone with ears hear. And the moving forward suggestion for this Friday is to set aside 10 minutes of quiet each day just to listen. Now we turn to Saturday, December 21st, the feast day of St. Thomas the Apostle. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Where was Thomas? Where was he when Jesus showed up and showed himself to the disciples? When he heard the miraculous, he doubted the story. The news was too good to be true. I often feel that Thomas wasn't full of doubt, but rather full of truth. Thomas wanted what the others had, an encounter with Jesus. Like Thomas, we want proof. Show me the money. But Thomas invites us into doubt, into a realm of faith that we often shy away from. It's important for us to remember that the opposite of doubt is not belief or faith. The opposite of doubt is absolute certainty. When we are absolutely certain, we leave no room for faith to grow. Jesus often criticized the religious people of his day, and I would add ours, for being absolutely certain they knew the will of God. We all want an encounter with Jesus, and God meets us in our doubts, worries, and fears, in our longings and striving, our lost hope and our loving. God's embrace will not let us go. And now I'm going to read from this gospel passage from John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." And the moving forward statement for this Saturday, beware of those whose faith is so certain that they leave no room for God. Now, as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's turn to Sunday, December 22nd. It is the fourth Sunday after Advent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 46b. My soul magnifies the Lord. Today, in the magnificent song of Mary, we hear her sing of hope for the future, of a world changed. She sings of a time when justice and equity will be real and present in the world. She sings a song of protest and defiance in the midst of chaos. She sings of a world put right by a God who calls the lowly and not the proud. And we are called to join in the singing. No wonder Jesus spent most of his ministry hanging out with the unknowns and the untouchables. He had Mary as a mother. Mary sings, and singing can be an act of resistance. The enslaved knew this. When they sang spirituals, they were both praising God and protesting the masters who locked them out of worship, but couldn't keep them out of the promise of deliverance. The civil rights leaders knew this too, singing songs like "We Shall Overcome," when so many in society didn't give them a chance to advance their cause of justice, let alone triumph. Mary's song is our triumph song. How can we keep from singing? And now I'll read this full passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." "And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The moving forward question for this day is, what song will you sing? That's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye, until next time.